What did you say? If I were some, yeah, well, no one has ever accused me of being smart. No, they haven't. Yes, ma'am. Is that an accusation? I'm looking. Okay. Thank you. May I have another? Yeah. Okay, we should begin, and we should pray. And today is December 4th. We'll be complaining about January freezing shortly and snow, so. Why complain? It's just, you know, one of those things I do. I can't do anything about it. I understand that. It's just, I don't like driving in it, though. That's my big deal. Okay, do we have prayer requests this morning? Yes. When you pray, who do you pray for? What do you pray for? What do you share with God that you can encourage us with? Okay. Really? It's awfully chilly. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thanks for sharing that with us. Sure. Donna? The least of these. Whatever you do for the least of these, you do it unto me. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen.
That's very good.
A windbreak? What else can we pray for? You're all doing fine, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
There you go. You can keep me in your prayers. I'm 8 days into the chemo, so it's fun, and I'm being facetious. Just for strength to do the things that God has allowed me to do. More volunteers for Children's Church. What are you doing to get ready for Christmas? There you go. I'm ready, I think. I have an issue with all the commercialization that we see and all the ads in the papers and all the things they want us to buy, and it just doesn't do me any good. So I would pray against the world stealing our joy this time of year in celebration. You have to. Be mindful. This time of year is a great opportunity for those who don't know Jesus personally. It gives us opportunity that we don't have until Easter. Those are the two holidays it seems people are most apt to listen to what you have to say. I get the privilege during our, we have a dinner for the employees at work, and they've asked me to pray for the dinner, but they've asked me to give a couple of minutes on perspective. Perspective. My perspective on life. Okay? Which, they single me out because I've got cancer. Which I don't much care if it gives me an opportunity to speak. I will tell you, not everyone that works with me is a believer. So I started thinking about this a week ago, week and a half ago, when my boss asked me to do that. And he, you know, he looks at me and says, "Of all people, you're most qualified to give a perspective on life." And I'm thinking, "Really? Why me? Because I got this thing in my head? Because I'm there's the potential of me leaving sooner than you? No one's guaranteed that. You know, we're going to be here as long as God allows." Not a moment sooner will he take us. And when we go, we have glory to look forward to. So I pray for good words in that time when I have that opportunity. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you, Holy God, for everything you do. For every circumstance we endure, we find ourselves in, we give you praise because we know the outcome of your hand at work is good for us. Father, it may be joyful, it may not be pleasant, but we know, based on your word and what we've experienced, that all things are for our good. Because we love you, because you love us, nothing comes our way that is contrary to your purpose and plan. I cling to that, Father. I am so grateful to be your child, to be loved by you, to understand that the one I place my trust in doesn't wonder, doesn't worry, doesn't, is not surprised, but has orchestrated all events for my benefit and for your glory. And I am so, so grateful for that. Father, as we bring our request before you, we know that you're going to work in a way that is truly awesome. You've commanded us to bring our request before you in faith and believing that whatever we ask, you will do in accordance with your will. Let us not doubt. Let us not doubt that the hand of God is mightier and more loving than anything else we can possibly experience. We pray for each other, Father. I pray for this body. that we would be united with one purpose, that we would seek those around us that don't know you, those you have placed before us, that they might enjoy what we have. I pray for our leaders, those in authority over us, who are charged with care and the spiritual growth of this body. I just pray for their strength and for their wisdom. For the homeless man that came across Joe's path this past week, I pray for your hand at work, that you might draw him to you. We are spiritual. We are surrounded in flesh. We know, Father, that you will work in a way that is effective through your Spirit for this man. I just pray we don't take it lightly when God places people in our path, but we take opportunity, as you've given us, to share the great joy we have in knowing you. Pray for the children's church, Father, that lives would be strengthened, would be encouraged. I pray for the helpers that lead these little ones to you. There is no greater gift than being able to share the love of Christ with a child. Jesus said, such is the kingdom of God. I pray for those who desire to do this work. I pray for those who are unsure as to how we should do this. And I pray that you give us wisdom so that we do it right. Father, as we look into your word today, I pray that nothing be taught here today that is contrary to your word or to your will, and that you would receive all honor and glory in our pursuit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You tell me. With the guy that hijacked. Let's do that now. Father, you know all circumstances surrounding this event. You know the welfare of this child. You know the individual that's driving the car. You know all things. We pray, Father, that this would have a good outcome, that the safety of this child would be in your hands, and you would make a way, Father, for this man to be found and this child to be found healthy. We ask that you intercede, Father. Care for this little one. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. What did we talk about last week? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Give me a definition for wisdom. I'm going to wander a little bit because I'm stiff. Give me a definition for wisdom. Okay, know how. Okay. Anybody else? I'm not saying that's incorrect. I want some feedback. You are wise. I have the wisdom of the body here at Faith at my disposal. You knowledge. You cannot separate knowledge from wisdom. If you just remember the phrase know how, that should remind you of what wisdom is. It's not only the knowledge of what to do, but the knowledge of how to get it done. Okay? Knowing what to do and how to get it done. In our context, it is knowing what God desires and how He has ascribed to us to get it done. You all know that, right? That's wisdom. Knowing what to do in a frame of reference where God is involved, knowing what to do, and knowing how to get it done. Doing it. Doing it. God gave us hands, feet, hands and feet. He gave us a mouth. He gave us a desire in our heart to do something. No one in this room is without purpose in God's plan. Not one single human in the sound of my voice is without purpose. You may say to yourself, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I would challenge you to read the scriptures, because contained within the scriptures is the knowledge of what to do and how to get it done. Do you believe that? I have one yes. I have two, three. Do you believe that? Four. Do you believe that, Joe, that contained within the scriptures is everything that you need to make a wise choice and the power to get it done? Okay? Now I have five. How about the rest of you? Six. Seven. Know-how. Not your know-how. What God has ascribed as what is good knowledge and how to use that. Do we do it in ourselves? Can you do that? I mean, I could probably go around the room here and ask you if you've ever made a choice that you didn't feel good about after the fact. Okay? We can all stand in that line. That wasn't wise. It probably wasn't God guided the choice that we made. So we can all stand there. I've made them. My wife has made them. Gary has made them. Okay. Wisdom. We're going to talk about what it is today. I've got a lot of scripture I want to share with you, and I want to get right to it. So you'll need your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody else. Get close. Get chummy. You know, that's what we're about. We're the body of Christ. One might sum up the meaning of the term wisdom with the words know how. Wisdom is based on knowledge. You can't separate the two. If you don't have knowledge, you can't have wisdom. I'm going to say that again. If you don't have knowledge, you cannot have wisdom, because you won't know what is right and you won't know what to do with it when it comes across your path. Often, in fact, wisdom and knowledge are mentioned together, and we're going to see some scriptures here, starting with Cindy in Jeremiah 10. We're going to be in Jeremiah for a couple of verses. Jeremiah 10, 12. Do you want to read? Or do you want to read, Rose?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you Jeremiah 51:15. Jeremiah. Perfect. Joe, I'm going to give you Luke 1:17. 51:15. Yeah. Luke 1:17. I want you to think about how the scripture uses wisdom and knowledge together. Okay? So, Cindy, Jeremiah 10:12.
Is he who made the earth by his power?
Yes.
He who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, by his understanding, he stretched out the temple.
Okay. Read that again, and when you hear the word or see the word, I want you to underline either wisdom or knowledge. Read it again.
It's he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom.
Wisdom, underline.
And by his understanding, he has stretched out the heavens.
Understanding is a synonym for knowledge. Okay? I'd understand or underline that. Rose. I would like you to read Jeremiah 51:15. Go ahead and read it.
He made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom. And stretched out the heavens by his understanding.
Now, did we not just hear that a minute ago? Same verse. In two different books. No. In the same book. In Jeremiah. You think he's trying to get a point across? Holy God, all-powerful God, all-knowing God, does what? Jeremiah 51:15. Yes, he did. Could you read it again?
He who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, by his understanding and his strength.
Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. This is how he did it. Now, if we are to be imitating our God, and we've been charged with that, what should we do? What should we be? People who, by God's knowledge, work and act. The understand. And sometimes connecting the two can be difficult for us because we've got a lot of distractions in our lives. Luke 1:17.
And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the obedience to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Okay, let's go back to Luke. Mark. Luke. 1:17. To the disobedient, let's go back to the beginning. It is he, who is he talking about? John the Baptist. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him, Christ, in the spirit of power, to turn back the hearts of the father, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. Would you call, what do we know about John the Baptist? Okay. What do we know about him, though? How's he described in Scripture to us? He was kind of a wild man. Yeah. That's a good term. He was. You know, the man ate locusts and honey. It's a diet I'm sure we could try. Probably wouldn't be good for us since we're used to processed foods. But that's the kind of man he was. He was a wilderness kind of guy. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him. In the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient, the attitude of the righteous. So to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Where do you see knowledge and wisdom in that passage? Okay. Okay, to what end? What was his purpose? He was the forerunner, okay? He laid out a lot of understanding. Agreed. We cannot disregard it. And I read this a couple of times, and I thought to myself, how does knowledge and wisdom, how is it represented in this passage? And I thought, you know, we see what John did, and we see him proclaiming without hesitation the great and mighty day of the Lord. We see him proclaiming that there's a Christ coming, a Messiah is coming, okay? And it wasn't of him. It wasn't by his knowledge. It was by the power of God in him that he was proclaiming that. And I thought, yeah, there's some wisdom there. There's definitely knowledge of the scriptures.
The
400 years, people were silent. God, in essence, wasn't moving like he had with the prophets. There was an anticipation of something else coming, as prophesied. Wisdom is knowing what to do, and how to do it, and getting it done. No, he wasn't. That's something that I hadn't considered, but he wasn't an educated man. He was what we would consider to be a wild ass of a man. Okay, we've heard that term. But he wasn't Cain-like. He was just, he reminds me of Mike when I read this, okay? I've seen some of the things Mike eats, all right, that most of us would go, excuse me. He was doing what he needed to do and drawing attention to himself by his lifestyle. It's not something that if I were going to look for an example of knowledge and wisdom as laid out in the scriptures, I would point to this verse. But I see that knowledge and that wisdom used by an uneducated man to prepare for the forecoming of the Messiah. Sure. Yeah.
Zechariah was a priest, then he had knowledge that he had about.
I would say, I would agree with that probably at least 50%. Yeah, father's wisdom, maybe. But what did we see John do? What do we know about his life? He stood in the middle of the river and baptized people, okay? If we saw that today, would we ascribe wisdom and knowledge to that person? Would we? Well, you're right. And what a man speaks, we know is what's in his heart. From the mouth, a man speaks, showing us what kind of man he is and his heart condition. It wasn't one of those passages of Scripture, like I said, I would point to, but it shows God's power and his wisdom in this man who was looked upon as a little bit out there. You know, peculiar comes to mind. It was just my thought. Yes. Yeah.
Christians would rejoice.
They would.
I think he's very wise to be doing what he's doing. It's the non-Christians that would say, that dude's wacko.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to say
what?
Now, why?
Or show them. Yeah. Or show them. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're not left as hunks of meat here to do nothing. There is an anticipation that we're going to do something with the knowledge we have. Whether it's done in God's wisdom or not, you know, we all, I think I can say with some certainty that we all know what's expected of us, being followers of Christ. It's the doing. And I'm also going to encourage you that the doing isn't from you. It is those works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in that you'll be doing. So it's something that, you know, I'm going to have to give this whole talk. And I'm going to rely on what God puts in my mouth. It's, you know, sometimes we can overthink things. We can. You know, I can... Believe me, in my mind, I've run through what I would want to say to have impact. And I find myself going, who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? I'm talking to people, some know Christ and are followers of Christ, and it's apparent. Others, you know, going to church on Christmas and Easter are their duties, and they have fulfilled those duties once they do them. They're not aware. They're not keenly looking at how they can have an intimate relationship with an almighty God. They're not. What boxes can I tick to get him off my back? So, yeah, you know, as a teacher, yes, I know more than some. I know less than others. I'm going to have to rely on the words that God gives me, regardless of whatever knowledge I might have, to make sure that it's done right. That's all I'm saying. Let's continue down that road. Next person is Cheryl. Would you read Romans 11:33? Chris, would you read 1 Corinthians 1:24 and 2:5? Nancy, would you read for us? I'm going to give you Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. And Glenda, I would like you to read Revelation 5:12 and 7:12. And when we get to them, we'll remind. Okay, starting with Cheryl. We're going to look at Romans 11:33.
Oh, the wisdom of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments of his ways past finding out.
Say, I want you to read it again.
Okay.
Okay? Nice and slow and with a great purpose. Because there's a couple words there I want you to underline in your Bibles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wisdom
and knowledge
of God.
Of God.
How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out.
Yeah. last week we talked about God being all-wise. And I think sometimes we don't meditate on that first word. All. Not some, not partial wisdom, but all wisdom. You think you're wise? I can show you someone who is wiser. Okay? In Scripture, the only one that is singled out is Solomon, because of the choice that he made. And there was no one wiser than Solomon that is depicted in Scripture that we have as an example. Now, I'm not saying that Christ wasn't wise in the wisdom of God, so don't go there. I'm saying this man, Solomon, was singled out as being wise because he chose properly. He was given, what do you want? I'll give it to you. You want great power? I'll give it to you. You want great riches? I'll give it to you. And what did he choose? I want to be wise, so I know how to properly do what you're asking me to do. And because of that, we esteem him as being wise because of that singled out. We left with Romans. Wisdom and knowledge. Every time you see that, I want you to think about one cannot be separated from the other. And it's particularly of God. 1 Corinthians. That's you. It's 1:24 and chapter 2, verse 5. So you got two there that complement one another. 1 Corinthians 1:24 first.
Those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Power of Christ is the power of God and the wisdom, which if we can't separate them, we also have to understand that there is a knowledge there. We know Jesus was the Son of God. And yet, in Ephesians 2, he set aside the privileges of that. Is it Philippians? I'm sorry. He set aside the privileges of deity to become like us. Doesn't mean he separated knowledge and wisdom from that. Power, he set aside. I don't believe wisdom and knowledge were separated. I believe Christ had all the wisdom and knowledge he needed here to do what the Father asked, without a doubt. And chapter 2, verse 5 of the same book. We should probably expand on that a little bit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh my, where does the day go? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. We're going to need to read a little bit above that. So we have in context, Corinthians. First Corinthians 2. Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's go back to verse 3.
Okay. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling.
That's okay.
I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in the human wisdom, but in the power of God.
We can look at examples of those people who we see as wise. I get to use the quotes there. because of their success, because of something they've done that has been borne out in the way they walk, the way they talk. Okay? There is a difference between God's wisdom, which is foolishness to man, and man's wisdom. There's a gulf, a separation so vast, because we don't know everything. When we think about God's wisdom, we have to think about his omniscience, he knowing everything completely. Everything completely. Would you trust somebody, a doctor, let's say, that spent a couple of years in med school and decided to, he'd learned enough to go start operating on people? Would you trust him? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. I want to see the credentials. I want to know how much time you spent with your nose in the book. I want to know how much time you practiced or were mentored by someone who knew more than you. We're talking about an almighty God who is wise. He knows everything. Not just some things. Nothing surprises him. He knows everything. Not just some things. Because if he just knows some things, he's not to be trusted. So he has to know everything for us to put our full faith and trust in him. Otherwise, you're foolish to do it. If we ask you to put your faith in someone who is not fully wise, who is not full of understanding, we've already set the example here that you wouldn't do it. Why would you do that when it comes to trusting in someone who has hold of eternal life? Colossians, did you read that? 2:5. Nancy. Excuse me, that's Colossians 2:3. Who is he talking about? When I pick little verses out as an example, who's he talking about? Who is he relating to that has all the wisdom and knowledge? Christ. Okay. In him are contained all the wisdom. It's not a matter of power or his deity, but all wisdom and knowledge. Therefore, since he is all-knowing, since he has all the knowledge and all the wisdom of God, we can what? We can trust him the exact way we trust God our Father. This is a triune God in whom we believe. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have all the wisdom and all the knowledge, and can be trusted because they have all the wisdom and all the knowledge. Revelation. I'm going to finish up with you, Glenda. Gary, we're going to start with you next week. I promise you. Well, it's your choice. Glenda, I would like you to read Revelation. Here I am. 5:12. Now 7:12, just page over.
Saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever, amen.
These are things, because of our understanding and because of our experience with our God, we ascribe to him. This is a scene in heaven. This is the book of Revelation. This is a scene in heaven where we see the inhabitants of heaven bowing down and worshiping him, proclaiming his power, his understanding, his knowledge, and his wisdom. It's not like it's you and me doing it. These are the inhabitants of heaven, the creation of heaven, that are literally falling down and ascribing this to God. And we should be done. We will pick up there next week. And Gary, I'm going to put Gary's name right here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit you've placed within us so that we can have some understanding of who you are, how you work. I pray that as we walk, that you would bring these things to mind. You would help us to remember the passages that we've looked at today, understanding that all wisdom and all knowledge belongs to you, and that we are totally inequipped to make good decisions without you. We thank you, Father, for all you do, for what you've done in our lives, for the evidence you have placed in our hearts of who you are. And when we read these scriptures, it comes alive to us. And we are so grateful. But let it not stop there. That knowledge of who you are should give us great joy. It should make us different from those around us who see the world in very dark glasses. Thank you, Father, for your great gift. For all you do, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.